And indeed for you in grazing livestock is a lesson. We give you a drink from what is in their bellies, between excretion and blood, pure milk, palatable to drinkers. Amazing. I mean, the milk comes out of the udder, and the udder is what? Just fat, flesh, blood, and there is milk coming out of it? It's amazing. What amazing system Allah has created. And milk in itself is so good. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, I know nothing that suffices in place of food and drink other than milk. This is also from Silsilatul Ahadith al-Sahihah. Meaning, when you're hungry and you can't find food, and you're thirsty and you can't find water, what's the best thing to have? Milk, if you find it. Right? It's the best thing to have. So, if any day you are running short on time for sahur, what is it that you can have for sure? Milk. And milk, the Prophet ﷺ also said that he who gives to another some silver or gold as a gift, or a water container, or he feeds him some milk, meaning he couldn't find anything to give, he just gave some milk, then it is as if he freed a slave. This is from Musnad Ahmad. And from the fruits of the palm trees and grape vines, you take intoxicant and good provision. Indeed, and that is a sign for people who reason. وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ And your Lord inspired to the bee. Allah trained the bee. Take for yourself among the mountains, houses, and among the trees, and in that which they construct. Then eat from all the fruits, and follow the ways of your Lord laid down for you. Because the honeybee doesn't fly randomly. It flies in a particular way. There emerges from their bellies a drink varying in colors in which there is a healing for people. Indeed, and that is a sign for people who give thought. The source of honey is also the belly of a creature. Milk is also coming from inside an animal. And honey is also coming from inside a bee. The Prophet ﷺ said, the example of the believer is like that of a bee. It does not eat anything except good and does not produce except what is good. So what do we consume and what do we produce? That's something that we need to think about. Because the believer should be like the bee. Another hadith tells us, the example of the believer is like the bee. It eats what is good and produces what is good. And whatever it lands on, it does not break it, nor does it ruin it. So gently it lands on a flower, goes inside it, takes the nectar without breaking the flower. But have you ever seen rabbits or like goats or something like that? These animals, when they attack a plant, what happens? It's finished, destroyed. But a bee, look at how it takes so gently. So a believer should be like that. So when we're taking something, giving something, working with someone, what's the manner that we need to adopt? Gentleness. And what do we learn in this ayah? That there is shifa, a cure, a healing in honey. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, healing is in three things. A drink of honey. Drink of honey. What does it mean? Drink it. Don't take a drop of it and lick your finger or lick the spoon. Take like a sip or two. Okay? Drinking of the honey. Also, cupping. Cupping. That is also cure. And cauterizing with fire. But the Prophet ﷺ has forbidden cauterization, which is basically through burning. And Allah created you, then He will take you in death. And among you is he who is reversed to the most decrepit old age. Extremely old age. So that he will not know after having had knowledge a thing. Indeed, Allah is knowing and competent. And Allah has favored some of you over others in provision. But those who are favored would not hand over their provision to those whom their right hands possess, so they would be equal to them therein. Then is it the favor of Allah they reject? And Allah has made for you from yourselves mates, and has made for you from your mates sons and grandchildren, and has provided for you from the good things. Then in falsehood do they believe, and in the favor of Allah they disbelieve, and they worship besides Allah that which does not possess for them the power of provision from the heavens and the earth at all, and in fact they are unable. So do not assert similarities to Allah, because there is no one similar to Allah. Indeed, Allah knows and you do not know. So do not describe him as you please, and do not associate partners with him that you wish. Allah presents an example, a slave who is owned and unable to do a thing, and he to whom we have provided from us good provision, so he spends from it secretly and publicly. Can they be equal? Praise to Allah. But most of them do not know, then how can the Creator and the creation be the same? And Allah presents an example of two men, one of them dumb, unable to do a thing, while he is a burden to his guardian. Wherever he directs him, he brings no good. Is he equal to one who commands justice while he is on a straight path? then who is better? The idol that is dependent or God who is the provider, Allah? And to Allah belongs the unseen aspects of the heavens and the earth. And the command for the hour is not but as a glance of the eye or even nearer. Indeed, Allah is over all things competent. And Allah has extracted you from the wombs of your mothers, not knowing a thing. And He made for you hearing and vision and intellect that perhaps you would be grateful. How to be grateful? Don't use the eye for what Allah does not like. Don't use the ear for what Allah does not like. Don't use the mind to entertain thoughts that Allah does not like. Don't give them any space in your heart. And the body must also be used correctly. The Prophet ﷺ said, the first blessing man will be questioned about on the Day of Judgment is that it will be said to him, did I not correct your body for you and feed you cold water? Allah will ask us, the sound body that Allah gave us, what are we doing with it? Just sleeping with it? Just feeding it? Overindulging in physical pleasures? Or are we also using this body to stand in qiyam, praying to Allah, using our mouth to recite the Qur'an? Do they not see the birds controlled in the atmosphere of the sky? None holds them except Allah. Indeed, in that are signs for people who believe. And Allah has made for you from your homes a place of rest, and made for you from the hides of the animals tents, which you find light on your day of travel and your day of encampment. And from their wool, fur and hair is furnishing and enjoyment for a time. And Allah has made for you from that which He has created shadows, and has made for you from the mountains shelters, and has made for you garments which protect you from the heat, and garments which protect you from your enemy in battle. Thus does He complete His favor upon you, that you might submit to Him. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا, but if they turn away, then only upon you is responsibility for clear notification. They recognize the favor of Allah, then they deny it, and most of them are disbelievers. You see, on the Day of Judgment, we will be asked about gratitude. That were you grateful or not? The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will say on the Day of Judgment, O son of Adam, I carried you on horses, camels, and had you married and gave you authority. فَأَيْنَ شُكْرُ ذَلِكَ فَأَيْنَ شُكْرُ ذَلِكَ. So where is the gratitude for this? Where is the gratitude for the blessings that Allah has given us? Gratitude should be for every bite and sip. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah is pleased with His servant who says, Alhamdulillah, while taking a morsel of food and while drinking. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And mention the day when we will resurrect from every nation a witness, then it will not be permitted to the disbelievers to apologize or make excuses, nor will they be asked to appease Allah. And when those who wrong see the punishment, it will not be lightened for them, nor will they be reprieved. And when those who associated others with Allah see their partners, they will say, our Lord, these are our partners, whom we used to invoke besides you. But they will throw at them the statement, indeed you are liars. Indeed, you are liars. What a big loss. And they will impart to Allah that day their submission, and lost from them is what they used to invent. Because that day surrender is not going to help. Those who disbelieved and averted others from the way of Allah, we will increase them in punishment over their punishment for what corruption they were causing. And mention the day when we will resurrect among every nation a witness over them from themselves, and we will bring you as a witness over your nation. And we have sent down to you the book as clarification for all things, and as guidance and mercy and good tidings for the Muslims. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Indeed, Allah orders you to be just. Indeed, Allah orders with justice, fairness, al-adl. Al-adl is to do to the other what he deserves. And adl also means moderation. Allah orders you that you be moderate. Wal-ihsan, and also good conduct, meaning give to the other more than what he deserves. And also ihsan means beautiful work, meaning whatever you do, do it beautifully. And giving to relatives, and forbids immorality. What is it that Allah forbids? Shameless things. Fahsha are those actions, the purpose and result of which is sexual pleasure. Unlawful sexual pleasure. So Allah forbids you from that. وَالْمُنْكَرْ, and also bad conduct. وَالْبَغِي, and oppression. Going beyond one's limits and taking what others are deserving of. Whether it is the right of the creation or the right of the Creator. يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. He admonishes you that perhaps you will be reminded. So once you have been reminded, then do what you have been commanded, and leave what you have been forbidden from. And fulfill the covenant of Allah when you have taken it, O believers, and do not break oaths after their confirmation, while you have made Allah over you a witness. Indeed, Allah knows all that you do. And do not be like she who untwisted her spun thread after it was strong. Meaning all night long this woman spent the time spinning the wheel, making yarn, and in the morning she broke it up. She destroyed it. So Allah says, do not be like this woman who destroys her own work. How would you do that? By taking your oaths as means of deceit between you. Because one community is more plentiful in number or wealth than another community. Meaning, you become biased, you become unfair. Why? For the sake of some temporary worldly benefits? Well, in fact, what you're doing is you are destroying your own good work. Because sins, what do? They erase the deeds of a person. Allah only tries you thereby. And He will surely make clear to you on the day of resurrection that over which you used to differ. So do not waste your deeds. And if Allah had willed, He could have made you of one religion. If Allah wanted, He could have made people all the same, having no differences whatsoever. But He causes to stray whom He wills, and guides whom He wills. And you will surely be questioned about what you used to do. And do not take your oaths as a means of deceit between you. Meaning, don't swear oaths for the purpose of deceiving other people. That you take their confidence by swearing an oath, and then you do what you please. Lest a foot slip after it was once firm. Because when there is mistrust because of people breaking their promises, or going against the oaths that they have sworn, then what happens? Then the foot slips. What this means is that a person who once trusted you now is not going to trust you anymore. The person who once found you to be reliable is not going to find you reliable anymore. And especially this is with respect to a person who has just embraced Islam, who is inclined to Islam, but because of your bad conduct, his foot slips. He doesn't see any good in Muslims, so he loses his faith in the religion of Allah also. So you would taste evil in this world for the people that you diverted from the way of Allah. And you will have in the hereafter a great punishment. And do not exchange the covenant of Allah for a small price. Indeed, what is with Allah is best for you. If only you could know. Whatever you have will end. It will be exhausted. The treasures, whatever you have accumulated, it will deplete, it will run out. But what Allah has is lasting. And we will surely give those who were patient their reward according to the best of what they used to do. Whoever does righteousness, whether male or female, while he is a believer. What's the condition? Iman. It doesn't matter whether a person is man or woman. The condition is that they must be a believer. Then this person, we will surely cause him to live a good life. And we will surely give them their reward in the hereafter according to the best of what they used to do. A good life doesn't necessarily mean a happy life free of problems. A good life means a productive, useful, beneficial life in which a person makes something, he earns something, he leaves a good impact. So a person who lives like this, Allah says, we will make him live a good life, and in the hereafter also, after this person dies, his efforts are not going to be wasted. Rather, he is going to be rewarded according to the best that he used to do. So when you recite the Qur'an, first seek refuge in Allah from shaitan, the expelled from his mercy. So if you didn't say A'udhu Billah yourself, now say it. I said it, I don't know about you. Each and every one of us is reading the Qur'an here. Whether it's the translation or the ayat, we are reading the Qur'an. So let us seek refuge with Allah against shaitan. Because when a person is doing a good deed, even like reciting the Qur'an, reading the Qur'an, then shaitan becomes active. Shaitan tries to distract a person, tries to make him feel bored. Or even though he may be sitting, the mind is elsewhere. So the person is not enjoying, is not benefiting from what they're doing. So seek refuge with Allah against shaitan, the expelled. How is shaitan the expelled? Because he is expelled from the mercy of Allah. Indeed, there is for him no authority over those who have believed and rely upon their Lord. So those who have faith in their Lord, who rely upon Allah, then shaitan, the devil, he cannot affect them, he cannot mislead them. His authority is only over those who take Him as an ally and those who through Him associate others with Allah. So shaitan has power over who? Those who befriend him, those who listen to him. And the one who remembers Allah, then shaitan has no control over him. In a hadith we learned, the Prophet ﷺ, he said that if there are three men in a village or in the desert, three men anywhere, why is the desert mentioned or the village mentioned? Because there is no population over there, no people over there, meaning they're alone. It's just the three of them. And prayer is not offered by them together, then the shaitan has got mastery over them. Meaning if these three people do not perform the prayer and they do not perform it together, then what will happen? Shaitan will have control over them. So what is it that we learn from this? That people who neglect prayer, people who neglect remembering God, then what happens? The devil has more control over them. He is able to affect them more. He's able to make them do more worse deeds. As opposed to the one who gives himself in the protection of Allah, then he is safe from the attack of shaitan. And when we substitute a verse in place of a verse, and Allah is most knowing of what He sends down, they say, "You are but an inventor of lies." But most of them do not know. Meaning when they hear the Quran, they say that Muhammad ﷺ has fabricated it. This is his speech. Allah says most of them do not know. Because if they really paid heed to the Quran, they would never say that this is the word of man. Say, "The pure spirit has brought it down from your Lord in truth to make firm those who believe and as guidance and good tidings to those who surrender." And we certainly know that they say it is only a human being who teaches the Prophet. Because there were some foreign slaves in Makkah and they said, "Oh, this man Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has learned all these stories from these foreigners and he's putting it together in the form of the Quran." Allah says the language of the one they refer to is foreign. These foreigners don't even speak Arabic. And this Quran is in a clear, eloquent Arabic language. Indeed, those who do not believe in the verses of Allah, Allah will not guide them, and for them is a painful punishment. They only invent falsehood who do not believe in the verses of Allah, and it is those who are the liars. Who are liars? Those who don't believe in the words of Allah. Whoever disbelieves in Allah after his belief, except for one who is forced to renounce his religion, while his heart is secure in faith, but those who willingly open their heart to disbelief, upon them is wrath from Allah, and for them is a great punishment. Why? Because that is because they preferred the worldly life over the hereafter. They chose the worldly benefits, the worldly enjoyment over the eternal reward that Allah has in store for people. And that Allah does not guide the disbelieving people. Those are the ones over whose heart and hearing and vision Allah has set a seal. Why? Because when a person does not use a faculty that Allah has given him, eventually it stops functioning. It stops working. And it is those who are the heedless. Assuredly, it is they in the hereafter who will be the losers. Then indeed your Lord, to those who immigrated after they had been compelled to renounce their religion, and thereafter fought for the cause of Allah, meaning they went to this length even that if someone raised weapons against them, they also defended themselves. And they were patient. وَصَبَرُوا. Why were they patient? Because living as a person who has surrendered to Allah, this kind of life is not easy. This requires a lot of patience. Indeed, your Lord after that is forgiving and merciful. On the day when every soul will come disputing for itself, and every soul will be fully compensated for what it did, and they will not be wronged. Allah will forgive such people on this day. And Allah presents an example. A city which was safe and secure, its provision coming to it in abundance from every location. The city is the city of Makkah. But it denied the favors of Allah. How did they deny the favors of Allah? That when the Prophet ﷺ came to them, they refused to believe in him. And this is also a form of ingratitude. Remember that if we reject even one blessing of Allah, then that is as though we are rejecting all of the blessings of Allah. Because who is the sender of that blessing? Allah is. So if we reject even one, if we're ungrateful for even one, then that is an attitude of ingratitude. That is an attitude of ungratefulness. And so, over here, Allah says that when they disbelieved in the Messenger, it was as though they denied all the favors of Allah. And for ingratitude, what are the consequences? Allah made it taste the envelopment of hunger and fear for what they had been doing. Then good times turn into bad times. Then ease turns into hardship. And there had certainly come to them a messenger from among themselves, but they denied him. So punishment overtook them while they were wrongdoers. We learned earlier that when a person is grateful, then his blessings increase. And this is something that's very logical, because what we appreciate, appreciates. It grows in front of us, in its value also. And what we are ungrateful for, then what happens? It diminishes. We don't even notice it in front of our eyes. And this is what happens, that when a person is grateful, then his blessings are increased for him. And when a person is ungrateful, then his blessings are diminished for him. Then eat of what Allah has provided for you, which is lawful and good. Because this is also a form of gratitude, that the blessings that Allah has given you, use them, enjoy them. And be grateful for the favor of Allah. وَشْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ. Be grateful for the blessing of Allah. You see, when a blessing is taken away from us temporarily, and then eventually we're able to enjoy it, then what happens? Then we feel grateful. And Ramadan is an experience of this. Right? That when all day we're not able to eat and drink, what happens when you're able to take that first sip of water? How you appreciate that? Isn't it? You appreciate it. Even the food. It doesn't matter whether it's too salty or cold or soggy, doesn't matter. You are hungry, you'll enjoy it. Right? Why? Because you didn't have anything to eat all day. But what happens with us? We enjoy it, but we forget to thank Allah. Because we're so busy eating, we forget to thank Allah. So consciously thank Allah, especially when you break your fast. When you break your fast, remember to praise and glorify Allah. Thank Him for the food and thank Him for the blessing of being able to fast. ذَهَبَ الظَّمَأُ وَابْتَلَّتِ الْعُرُوقُ وَثَبَتَ الْأَجْرُ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Reward by the will of Allah, if Allah wants, is going to be secured. إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. If it is indeed Him that you worship. He has only forbidden to you dead animals, blood, the flesh of swine, and that which has been dedicated to other than Allah. But whoever is forced by necessity, neither desiring the unlawful, nor transgressing its limit, then indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. And do not say about what your tongues assert of untruth, this is lawful and this is unlawful, to invent falsehood about Allah. Because the fact is that the law concerning lawful and unlawful, especially when it comes to food, this is complete. Allah has revealed it in His law, in the Qur'an. The Prophet ﷺ taught us what is lawful, what is unlawful. So we as human beings, as believers, we do not have the authority to declare something that Allah made unlawful as lawful, or vice versa. Why? Because this is like inventing falsehood about Allah. Because what proof do we have that Allah made it lawful? What proof do we have that Allah made it unlawful? If we don't have any proof from the Qur'an and Sunnah, then that would be lying about Allah. Indeed, those who invent falsehood about Allah will not succeed. They will never be successful. It is but a brief enjoyment, and they will have a painful punishment. And to those who are Jews, we have prohibited that which we related to you before. Meaning they have more restrictions. They were given more prohibited things. And we did not wrong them thereby. Meaning when those foods were made unlawful for them, this was not oppression against them. They were wronging themselves. And what is it that they did? They made these lawful foods unlawful for themselves. They changed the law that Allah made, that Allah gave for them. And when they changed it, when they altered it, then Allah imposed those hardships upon them. You see how careful the Prophet ﷺ was, that even though he loved praying in the night, and the Sahaba also loved praying with him in the night. What happened? We learn in Bukhari that in one of the nights of Ramadan, the last nights of Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ was found praying by himself by some Sahaba. So what did they do? They went and joined him. And then the next day, people found out. So what happened? More people came. And then more people came. And then they came and the Prophet ﷺ never showed up for salah. He was praying in his house. So they were a little, you know, taken aback that what happened? We want to pray with you. And the Prophet ﷺ did not do that. Why? Because he was afraid that if I make this a habit to lead everybody in prayer every night, then this will become an obligation on everybody. So even though he loved it, he didn't do it. Why? Because we are no ones to change the law of Allah. When we change the law of Allah, we will only create difficulties for ourselves. Then indeed, your Lord, to those who have done wrong out of ignorance, and then repent after that and correct themselves, indeed your Lord thereafter is forgiving and merciful. Indeed, Ibrahim was a leader. Ibrahim was an ummah. He was like a nation. He did the work of a nation and he was a leader. Devoutly obedient to Allah. What made him an ummah? What made him a great leader? The fact that he was a devout servant of Allah, inclining toward truth, and he was not of those who associate others with Allah. How else was he? شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِهِ He was grateful for his favors. He was grateful for the blessings that Allah bestowed upon him. And we learned about his du'as earlier, about his prayers, that how Ibrahim a.s. at such an old age, when he receives the good news of children, and when he has children, then what happens? He doesn't say, oh finally. He doesn't show any anger or any frustration over there. Rather, he says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi wahaba li ala al-kibari Ismail. That all praise is for Allah who granted me a child despite my old age. Inna Rabbi lasami'u du'a. Indeed, my Lord is the one who responds to du'a, who responds to prayers. This was the gratitude of Ibrahim a.s. that in no situation was he ungrateful to Allah. Even when he received what he wanted so late, still he was grateful. And when a person has these qualities in himself of gratitude, of surrendering to Allah, then he is chosen by Allah. اِجْتَبَاهُ Allah chose him. وَهَدَاهُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ And Allah guided him to a straight path. And we gave him good in this world. Because this is Allah's promise. The servant who is righteous, the servant who is obedient, Allah does not waste his reward. And indeed in the hereafter, he will be among the righteous. Then we reveal to you to follow the religion of Ibrahim. So as Muslims, who is it that we follow? Who's our leader? Who's also one of our leaders? Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. So we reveal to you to follow the religion of Ibrahim, inclining toward truth, and he was not of those who associate with Allah. So let's not associate any partner with Allah. The Prophet ﷺ is not a partner to Allah. Isa ﷺ is not the son of Allah. No, Allah is one, unique, having no partner. No one is equal to him because he is the only creator and everything else besides him is creation. So his status is higher. The Sabbath was only appointed for those who differed over it. And indeed your Lord will judge between them on the day of resurrection concerning that over which they used to differ. Invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom and good instruction. When you invite somebody to worship Allah alone, then invite them wisely and with good instruction. And argue with them, meaning discuss with them, in a way that is best. Indeed, your Lord is most knowing of who has strayed from His way, and He is most knowing of who is rightly guided. And if you punish an enemy, meaning if an enemy becomes violent towards you and you have to take revenge, then do so with an equivalent of that with which you were harmed. Meaning do not exceed what was done to you, because if you do that, then you will be the oppressor. But if you are patient and you forgive, then it is better for those who are patient. وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ And this is something that we need to adopt in our personal lives also. That when we are dealing with anybody and they annoy us, they hurt us, then let's do in return only as much as they have done to us. Not more than what they have done to us. And indeed what is better is that we just overlook and pardon and forgive what they have done to us. Why? Because patience and forgiveness, gentleness, they bring results that harshness and revenge, they never bring. Wasbir and be patient. وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ And your patience is not but through Allah. Meaning a person can only be patient if Allah gives him the strength to be patient. So let us ask Allah this month of sabr, that O Allah, grant us sabr. That we have patience over our stomachs, that we can control our hunger and our thirst. Give us the ability to control our tongues also. To control our attitude, to control our thoughts also. So وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And do not grieve over them, and do not be in distress over what they conspire. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Indeed, Allah is with those who fear Him and those who are the doers of good. Because a person can only do good when he fears Allah. And a person when he is patient, then what does it mean? That he has fear of Allah. So we see that Allah orders us to do ihsan, to do good to others. And he who listens to the command of Allah, then remember that Allah will also help him. Because what prevents us from being good to others, from showing forgiveness and tolerance, is that then we will suffer. But what do we learn here? That when a person is obedient to Allah, then Allah will also help him. So if we want the help of Allah, then we have to obey Allah, especially with respect to being good to the servants, the creation of Allah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.